Hi, and welcome to the Fiercely Holistic Podcast with your hosts, functional nutritional therapy practitioners, Kristen Mahaley and Sierra Shea.
With this platform, we're going to be your bold advocates, making healthy living achievable by providing small, tangible changes that will encourage your body to regain balance.
I'm Kristen, board-certified holistic nutritionist and FNTP, owner of Nourish Holistic Health and Nutrition. I live on an ever-expanding farm in New Hampshire with my hunter husband Dean and baby boy Henry.
I'm Ciara, Juris Doctor and FNTP, owner of Aura Nutrition and Wellness. I live on Long Island, New York with my incredible husband Tim and beautiful daughter Libby. We're thrilled to be joining you on this journey towards living a fiercely holistic life. Let's dive in. Hi, FHP listeners. Ciara here. Today, we are bringing you an incredible episode that is so educational, you are probably going to want to flag it and come back to again. We are chatting with Purity Coffee co-founders Andrew and Amber Salisbury. We think you're going to be blown away because we were. They are so knowledgeable, so passionate, and so committed to bringing you a healthy cup of coffee. So in this episode, you are going to learn that Purity Coffee is truly the gold standard for health. They are crafting their coffee from every level, every step, to ensure that it is the healthiest cup of coffee that you could possibly have. From pesticides to mold to mycotoxins, they ensure that they are limiting the bad and increasing the good. And you are going to hear a lot about how coffee should even be viewed as a supplement in this episode. So please sit back, take a listen, take notes, flag this to come back to. It is that good of an episode. Also, Amber and Andrew were so generous as to offer our listeners 20% off their first purchase with the code FIERCELYHOLISTIC. Without further ado, enjoy, and if you love this episode, please leave us a review.
Thank you so much, Andrew and Amber, for being here today. We cannot wait to explore the concerns with conventional coffee and why you should choose a coffee company like Purity, who puts so much time and effort and dedication into ensuring that you're drinking a cup of coffee with no toxins, no chemicals, no mold, and just pure joy. Sierra got me on to your company. She came up to visit and brought us a bag, and I've been hooked ever since. It's all my husband and I drink. I just finished my cup, and now I'm on to my water. And we're just so thrilled to have you today. So thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks a lot. This is great.
Yeah, we're very happy to be here.
This is a big deal for me. I have been obsessed with Purity for a long time, and it is not a gimmick that I brought Kristen a bag. I literally give it as a gift to everyone. People are probably like, there's something wrong with you. And there may or may not be, but that's for another episode. But yeah, so about 2 years ago when I found your company, I was dealing with really intense mold illness. And I started digging into understanding, like, okay, I'm a nutritionist, so I already have the background of how to eat really well, nutrient-dense whole foods. We have no toxins in our lives in terms of chemical cleaners or anything like that. And I was shocked to find out that conventional coffees, even organic coffees, which I was drinking, conventional coffees are filled with mold and mycotoxins. So I was thrilled to find a company like you that offered a bean that was tested to make sure that it's pure, which obviously the name Purity comes from, which is brilliant. And then the fact that I could maintain my coffee consumption, which was a big deal to me, was incredible. So we are really, really excited to dive into all of these things. And before we get going in your story, we have to know how you guys drink your coffee. So Andrew, how do you drink yours? Amber, how do you drink yours? I have my cup of decaf in my hand right now with raw cream. So we'd love to know your coffee order.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I mean, it's pretty much the same since I started. I didn't drink coffee originally. When I first started this company, I was a tea drinker. So really, it's only been maybe 8 years of drinking coffee, you know, regularly. And so I drink it black and, you know, so I can really sort of get the taste.
We call it naked. We drink our coffee naked.
And you can, because it's not bitter. It's delicious.
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way. So let's dive in here. And can you just share us your story and how Purity Coffee came about?
Sure. I can start with that. Is that good, honey?
Yep, great.
And it's jump in if you want to clarify anything, or it's also a big story. So he will keep it as tight as we can.
Okay.
So Andrew and I, when Andrew and I met, he's a British tea drinker, never drank coffee. And I have loved coffee always. I have a deep relationship with coffee. Always, you know, it has been part of my life. And he never understood. He never got it. He's like, what? I don't understand. Why are you drinking coffee? What is this about? And it wasn't really a problem in our relationship until in about what, honey, like 2011,
12.
Yeah. I started getting really sick and I was chronic fatigue. You know, doctors really couldn't find out exactly what was going on with my body. We found out later I had mold toxicity. I mean, there was a lot going on. I mean, you know, there's so much going on at that time. Also a lot of grief. You know, I had lost my mom to cancer after trying to save her for several years. Then I lost my dad to Alzheimer's and also had a miscarriage in between. So I was having a lot of grief compounded with the physical things that were happening in my body. So I think the first big fight that we had about coffee was I'm a celebrant and I was working on a wedding ceremony for someone. And I was up late, I'm drinking my coffee and Andrew comes in and I'm in such a bad mood and I'm just like wired because I'm sure I was drinking coffee with mold and toxicities. And he just said, babe, you have got to stop drinking coffee. You've got to stop it. And I looked at him. I'm like, you just try to take away this coffee right now, man.
Right.
Totally. Bad is going to happen in our house. So we had this huge fight. And I had to, I mean, later I laughed because I'm like, oh my God, I'm writing a ceremony about love and, you know, connection. And here we're having this giant blow up inside our relationship. But that was the beginning. Later in that week, I just said, listen, I will give up coffee if you can prove to me that coffee is bad. Mm. And you know, I'm very evidence-based. I'm like, dude, if you can bring me the science, then I will make a different choice. So that was when Andrew Salisbury, being a man he takes a challenge, right? And he's like, okay, I will prove to you that coffee is bad for you, and you have to promise that you'll give it up. And that's when just the education for Andrew began. And do you want to talk about that piece about going to Vanderbilt?
Yeah. So I was really at first curious about coffee because there was a mixed bag about 7-8 years ago. There's a lot of people who are health conscious people talking about giving up coffee for New Year's resolution and coffee has all these side effects. And then there was a lot of scientific information. I mean, about 19,000 studies on coffee and health that talk about all these amazing health benefits, you know, prevention of type 2 diabetes, liver disease, heart disease. It's the number one antioxidant in the American diet. I mean, just shopping lists of things that I'm just saying, okay, why is there such a big disconnect? And I met two professors at the Institute of Coffee Studies in Vanderbilt through a good friend of mine. And I just sat them down over dinner and I wanted to get a basic education. Is coffee good for you? And they said, look, it is incontrovertible, the amount of evidence about the health benefits of coffee. And they explained to me how the sort of bad reputation that coffee had came from the 60s when they conflated coffee drinking with alcohol consumption and cigarette smoking. So they didn't separate out these groups of people who were doing bad habits. And when they did separate them out, they found that the findings were reversed. So anyway, bottom line, that sort of set
me. He was really sad at that dinner because
he lost. He lost the bet.
I mean, I'm going to go back and tell my wife, coffee is good for you, and baby, you can keep drinking it.
But I was anxious to find reasons where her coffee habit wasn't good for her. So.
But what happened after that was actually very sweet. You know, when Andrew brought this information home to me, he said, okay, you know, this is what I found out. This is what I've discovered. And the question that he had, and you had this for Adriana, our coffee scientist, but he said, okay, so if you're going to drink coffee, I need to find you the healthiest coffee. Mm. If you're drinking coffee, we need to just make sure that it is as healthy as possible. And that started him on the next leg of his journey to find purity.
Yeah.
And Amber, may I ask, how many cups were you averaging a day?
Oh gosh. I mean, depending on what I had going on, I would have at least 4 cups of coffee. And if I had something, you know, if I was writing content or a ceremony, there's no telling. I would probably drink 8, okay, you know, 9. Okay. And they would take K-cups a lot of the time. So, I mean, there was so much going on there that wasn't
right. Right, with the plastic. And then, right. Andrew, one other thing that's just come up as you two are sharing your story is in England, it is coffee, like there's no coffee in the morning. It's always tea.
It's both, but okay. Coffee, our version of coffee is an espresso instant coffee. I mean, literally, okay. Is, at least when I was growing up in England. Now I think it's changed and there's more of a coffee culture. But it used to be, literally, you would open a jar of an espresso coffee and take a teaspoon, and that was what we
and stir it into water.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is good. It just sets the backstory. And at this point, what career were you in? What field were you in?
So I had it couldn't have been more different. I had a software company I started in Latin America, and I've always worked in Latin America, and it was software for contact centers, so big organizations. And so we had installations in 13 countries and offices in 5. Really loved that as a business, the international part of the business, but was never really passionate about the product itself, obviously. And
yes.
So, you know, that's the big difference. I went from selling systems that were $1 million systems where we knew our top 100 customers to pivoting completely and selling, you know, bags of coffee.
Incredible. And I bet the individuals in Latin America were drinking quite a lot of coffee.
Brazil, the second largest consumer in the world, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. So just getting back onto your I just was so curious about that as you were each chatting. So back into now you come back with this data and you say, love of my life, if you're going to drink this coffee, I want to find the best option.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that's probably one big inflection point where the story could have ended up completely differently, because I met and was introduced to Professor Adriana Farrar from the University of Brazil. She's one of the leading experts on coffee and health in the world, consulted for the World Health Organization. And I initially started, you know, talking to her through the Vanderbilt people and saying, like, okay, great, what's the very best coffee that I could buy for Amber? And she could give me a shopping list of all the things that I should care about, but she couldn't tell me any one brand. And that was the big sort of aha moment for me. I'm thinking, like, so let me understand, coffee's incredibly good for you, has all these sort of benefits in terms of disease prevention. There's all, but nobody is looking at it and saying, well, what would happen if we make every decision based on health without compromise? There wasn't a brand out there. She could tell me, you know, you should definitely get organic coffee, and you absolutely need to be tested for mycotoxins, and this is the right altitude, and these are the soil conditions, and this is the way the coffee should be processed, and then we need to talk about roasting and how you maximize the antioxidants in the coffee. In other words, there was a very long shopping list that you would look really weird if you went into even the biggest coffee shop in the world and said, could you get me a coffee that looks like this? They wouldn't know. So that was interesting.
Nothing was checking all of the boxes.
No. The way we look at it is, it's almost like a lens. You know, if you look at things, if you ask a different question, you get a different response. And nobody was asking the question, what would happen if you make every decision based on health? And so that sort of led us down this path where I started working with Adriana, and I said, okay, let's just do a project and see what it would look like. You're the expert in coffee and health. What should we do if we care about coffee and health? And this, you know, 2-month project ended up being 18 months of research and development, where we finally came out with one bag of coffee, where the agreement all the way along is no compromise. If the bag of coffee costs $200 a pound and tastes like ditch water, fine, that's it. But it's going to be the coffee which is every decision based on health without a compromise. And, you know, and then after about a year and a half, 2 years, we tested our coffee against the top 49 brands of coffee in the U.S. from, you know, very high-end, especially organic coffee, to the Folgers, Maxwell House, and all the people in between. And we were number one in antioxidants, anywhere from 2 to 10 times higher than any of the coffees we tested. So that's when we realized, okay, there's not only is coffee good for you, but if you actually pay attention to the health benefits of coffee and how they're created, you can maximize the health benefits and minimize any of the negative compounds. So
this is all amazing. And I know we're going to keep saying this probably ad nauseum, how much we appreciate your commitment to this, because it's true. Like, there's so many things that Kristen and I talk about on this podcast where we're like, we wish that profits weren't the driving force behind it. It should be health. There should be no compromise. People should have an opportunity to go into a store and not have to compromise on choosing a product or having it risk their health. And for people like me, and even you, Amber, that are sensitive to mold, this could be a deal breaker. This could make or break how you feel. It's huge. And similar to you, I mean, I'm going to go back to when I was in law school. I put 4 cups of coffee to shame. Like, I was drinking coffee like it was water. And that was obviously way before anything about nutrition came into my life. But so, like, thank you so much. I think it's a good opportunity if we dive into conventional coffee. Like, let's just set the stage for people, because I think we're like, obviously we have listeners, they're interested in health, but I think people sometimes shy away from the truth because it means that they may have to change their habits or change their products, and it takes effort and energy. And so I think if you can, for us, set the stage for, like, what is so bad about conventional coffee? I know Kristen was saying, like, whenever she used to drink a full cup of caffeinated coffee, her heart would just race. And I remember that, Chris, when we were doing our brand photo shoot a couple of years ago, and you had driven in from New Hampshire, and you were just like, see, I had a cup of coffee and I feel like you were shaking. And that doesn't happen to me, but people are very sensitive to that.
Yeah, it was this running joke with my husband. If someone would give me full caf instead of decaf, I'd get jittery and jumpy and want to be like Tasmanian devil. And he's like, oh no, she's on the coffee. Like, yeah. So the first time I noticed that change, we went on our honeymoon in Costa Rica and we toured a coffee farm, and I asked for decaf and they laughed at me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, there's no decaffeinated coffee here. And I'm like, well, I'm screwed. We're here for 10 days. And I love the ritual of coffee and the smell. But I had to always have decaf. So they said, just try ours.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here we go. We're going ziplining after this. I'm going to be off the wall. And I did. And my heart didn't race. So until Sierra introduced me to your coffee, we would order the coffee from Costa Rica. And then when COVID happened, that shut down. So I went back to decaf. And then I started realizing and learning about formaldehyde being used to decaffeinate coffee. And then Sierra sent us a bag of Purity as like a thank you gift for having them up here. And I've never gone back. And I was like, now I don't have to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah, that's funny. We love Costa Rica, by the way.
We're going there on Monday.
Oh, amazing. We love it so much, so much. So yes, what are the main concerns with your conventional American coffee that we buy at the store?
Okay. And then the first thing I would say is what you say about the sort of jitters and nervousness. We talk about that all the time, that people think that jitters and nervousness and acid reflex and all this sort of, you know, sort of problems with coffee are a result of coffee. They're not. They're a result of bad coffee. I mean, if you have any of these experiences, it's because you're drinking coffee that's not a high enough quality. And it's just that simple.
And do you know how I'd buy my bags? I feel like I'm in confession. By like the whatever looked the cutest. Like, I'd go into the health food store, I'd go into TJ Maxx or like a gourmet shop, and I'm like, oh, this looks adorable. Like, this looks like a good cup of coffee. I wasn't looking for any taglines or just, I'd be like, oh, there's a cute little leaf on it and it's fall, so I'll go with this bag this time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was too, back in the day before we knew any of this. That was exactly how we shopped for it too.
And it's funny because, you know, this is, you know, this is something you do every single day. It's the supplement you never forget to take, which means that of all the things that you can focus on, something you do every single day should be one of these high leverage points, because, you know, it's, you know, it's an important part of your diet. So like getting the coffee part right actually makes a big difference in your overall diet and longevity. But to answer your question about commercial coffee, it's sort of nuanced. This is the first thing. You know, we made every decision based on health. We were always going to tell the truth. We're going to follow that as a North Star, because I was looking for a coffee that I could give Amber. And I wanted a coffee that would, that I could say, okay, if she was out and about, she would, if she couldn't get our coffee, what is a shopping list of coffee that that we would want her to find? And one of the first things I found out is that it isn't that commercial coffee is bad for you. Coffee is good for you. And I'm talking about all coffee. And it's good for you because of the positive compounds in coffee, which are the antioxidants, the chlorogenic acids. The problem is, alongside of those positive compounds, you have the negative compounds like mycotoxins, pesticide residue, yeast, mold. There's just a variety of issues, stale coffee that people are drinking. So you have this sort of counterplay where you have a lot of good stuff going on and bad stuff at the same time. And so, you know, our focus was more of the good stuff, less of the bad stuff. And so the reason I mention that point is because I think the primary message for Purity Coffee is that we believe that coffee is good for you, but it can be made better with conscious sourcing and roasting. You just have to pay attention to it. But it's not like your coffee habit is bad. It's not, you know, but there are certain things inside of your coffee consumption that if you're drinking non-organic coffee, or if it's not tested for mold and pesticides, or if it's roasted in a certain way that's reducing the number of antioxidants, which happens all the time in coffee, you're just not getting the benefit that you would hope to get from that coffee.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. And I love, there are so many good one-liners so far in this that I'm like, we have to write that down. We have to jot that down. But one thing you just said was it's the supplement you never forget to take.
Yeah.
And that could not be more true. In my clinical practice, I've seen, you know, oh, I forgot to take my fish oil. Everyone always takes their coffee. Yeah. So why don't we expand on almost looking at it as a supplement and using all these wonderful benefits. So could you just explain to us the high standards that you have set at Purity? I want to expand on that because I think that's what truly sets your company apart. And then how those high standards have set the stage for the consumer to get the maximum benefit from drinking your cup of coffee.
Yeah. And so, a lot of this initially was deciding what's the difference that makes the difference. In other words, what are the things that we should concentrate on if we have a new focus, which is everything based on health. And so, you know, it's not based on taste. So, I mean, the lens that everyone uses to look at coffee is they either choose the coffee as a commodity because it's low price. They could use the coffee for convenience, like a Starbucks or a K-Cups, anything that makes it more convenient to drink that coffee. And the third thing is taste. And so you'll have people drinking specialty coffee. But when you think about health first, there's some things that you have to say an absolute requirement that don't necessarily affect taste. So I'd say they fall into two categories. One is the absence of bad stuff, and the other is the presence of good stuff. So the absence of bad stuff, the coffee can't have pesticide residue, it can't be treated with chemicals. One of the reasons for that is coffee is treated in countries that typically don't have the same laws and guidelines that you do in the US. Europe has stronger standards about accepting certain coffee that's been treated. And so the US gets coffee that's been treated with glyphosate, endosulfan, the sort of chemicals that you shouldn't have on your food and are not allowed on your food in the US, but are if it's manufactured in Brazil or Colombia or Honduras or any of those Central American countries. So
So
pesticide residue has got to be organic, has to be certified organic, so that it means all the way through that supply chain, it's treated as an organic product. The second thing is it needs to be tested for mold, mycotoxins. Mycotoxins come from molds. So it starts with mold, and then they turn into mycotoxins, which an example of a mycotoxin could be ochratoxin A, which is very bad for the kidneys. It can be, you know, relatively prevalent in coffee. So the absence of bad stuff is, you know, pesticide residue, mold, mycotoxins. Staleness in coffee affects the coffee. So when you talk about, oh, I pick up a bag of coffee at, you know, at a store, that you couldn't guarantee that that coffee is fresh. If it's beyond like 15 to 20 days old, the lipids on the coffee are starting to stale. So there's a thing called cafestol, caweol. They're the lipids or the oils on coffee. So when people see shiny coffee beans, sometimes they think, oh, this fantastic looking coffee, it's fresh. It's the lipids extracting from the coffee because they've turned rancid. Depending on the, I mean, there's caveats to that. If you have freshly roasted coffee, it looks a little bit more moist. But then after about 20 days or so, you know, you're seeing a staling on the coffee. So there's a long list.
That was my standard. Yeah. Is it shiny? I'm like, oh, shiny must be good. So American, right?
Okay. Andrew, can I ask you a quick question? With, you know, I'm sure you've heard of the EWG Clean 15 Dirty Dozen, and obviously yeah. coffee is not a food we eat, but are those crops typically like the most heavily sprayed? Like, do they have a lot of issues with, you know, pests and fungus and all that type of stuff? Or do they not have to be sprayed, but companies just do it to ensure that they, you know, don't lose that on profit?
No, and it's one of the biggest challenges. They in a lot of cases, farmers will argue that the coffee needs to be sprayed. Mm-hmm. I mean, climate change is a real issue now. The hardiness of the coffee trees. I mean, the World Health Organization thinks that there's going to be 50% less Arabica by 2050, which is the, you know, so one of the problems is there's certain pests that can wipe out a complete coffee harvest. So it takes a lot more work to keep it organic than it does to spray. And so if you've got a crop where you're feeding your family based on your ability to bring that crop in, people want to make sure that they can bring the crop in and it doesn't get wiped out. And mm-hmm. so spraying is typical, and heavy spraying is typical, and it's only really the very best farmers that keep it organic, and because it requires a little bit more thought on how they would do it. Right. And the sad thing is they don't often get paid enough of a premium in order to do that. So, you know, there just isn't that value proposition for them.
Oh, it like runs so deep. All of these issues run so deep, and it's not, you know, just coffee, where we could really be talking about anything from factory farming to any other organic farming. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that information, because I think that that sort of education is what people are missing. And I think perhaps having this information will get people to feel more outside of the health benefits, feel more confident in knowing that maybe spending a little bit more money on this yeah. supplement, which people spend so much money on supplements like on Amazon that could be fake or also awful. So can we dive into mold a little bit more? Obviously, this is something that I'm passionate about. Obviously, it's something that Amber, you are passionate about, and you both know a ton about. So we know this is common in coffee, but can you maybe share a little bit about why that's so common in coffee, like at what point that shows up? And can you also share, you know, the effects that these mycotoxins have on humans?
Yeah. There's a lot of water used in the processing of coffee. So, and mold can develop in various stages. And the problem is this: you can't ever let mold develop, not even once, in one stage. What typically happens with industrial farming is you'll have rows and rows of coffee trees, and you'll have effectively almost like a tractor trailer that goes between the trees, and it's sort of like U-shape inverted. And basically it shakes the trees and shakes all the berries off the trees. The problem is that coffee berries ripen at different times on the same tree. So on the same tree, you're going to have green berries, which are underripe. You'll have red berries or orange berries, which are ripe. And you'll have black berries that are overripe. What industrial farming typically does is they just shake all the berries, and it's onto a tarpaulin at the bottom. And then they process it by trying to remove the sort of overripe berries. Overripe is sort of like, imagine taking a moldy strawberry and putting it into a vat of fresh strawberries. Come the next day, everything is moldy. That's exactly the same problem. You can't ever let the mold develop. And so, you know, that's probably one of the, I mean, I'll give you a few examples. you know, I was in a location in Brazil, a big industrial farm, trying to understand the differences between industrial farming. And there was a massive mound of dry processed coffee that was ready for shipping. And there was a farm worker who was just spraying it. He was spraying it with water. And I said, well, what's this stage? What are they doing here? You know, why are they cleaning it a third time or a fourth time? Why are they spraying the coffee? The justification is this: there's a certain humidity level that the coffee is allowed to go through, a maximum humidity level. But, you know, so it can't be above that humidity level. But the more you can get it close to that humidity level, the heavier the coffee becomes. So it's a great way to add 10 or 15% to your value of your crop by spraying it with water. And then, of course, that crop is going to be shipped for the next month or so in burlap bags, you know, I mean, so it's just ripe for mold infestation. So, and that's just one example. I mean, there's really just, mold can develop almost every stage of the production schedule, and you cannot allow it to develop at any stage.
So this is even crazier to think how much you need to pay attention from your company Purity to all of these, right? Like in my mind, even though I know a lot, I was like, okay, well, they probably just test it because maybe it happens when it's like before the roasting process. But you're talking about literally from step one. So that's intense.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, we haven't even started talking about where the real work comes in. The real work isn't creating, or isn't the absence of bad stuff. The real work is how do you dial up the good stuff. So the good stuff are the antioxidants in coffee, the chlorogenic acids, trigonoline, the lipids on the coffee you want, cafestol, caweol, which are very good for the liver, all of these things. Now, you could take this amazing coffee. It's got no mold. It's organic, and you can roast it. So this is a dark roasted coffee. And if you roast it in the wrong way with the roasting curve, the speed and the temperature, you'll roast away all the antioxidants in that coffee. I mean, literally, Nobody looks at this. See, one of the things we do that no other coffee company does is we were told in the early stages, the health benefits come from the CGAs in coffee. You need to get the most amount of CGAs in the coffee. You want to obviously minimize the bad stuff, but the CGAs are where the health benefits come from. And so we're the only coffee company that pays attention to first sourcing coffee to be very high in these chlorogenic acids, these antioxidants and polyphenols, and not only sourcing for it, but roasting to maintain them and checking. And we lab check our coffee on every part of the roast curve. So we design a roast curve for that specific coffee to maximize the antioxidants. So yeah, it's complicated.
Wow. Oh my gosh. But in a beautiful way. And we're just so grateful that you're doing this work because it's makes all the difference. Amber and Andrew, we had an episode a couple months back on eggs, and personally, my husband and I, we have a farm and we have about 40 chickens and we sell our eggs at our store. And they are not refrigerated because they're grass-fed and pastured and we do not wash the eggs. The traditional egg in the grocery store is usually about 3 months old when you buy it. And ours are, you know, a day or two. So what is the, comparing this to coffee, all breakfast. What is the traditional timing that a regular, like let's just say Folgers, goes through from harvest to how long it can stay on the shelf versus your company?
It's a really interesting question. It's one of the problems I think in the coffee industry is that in order to focus on coffee for health, they would have to change the way that they supply coffee in the supply chain. Because I can tell you the right way that coffee is produced. Green coffee is a thing called the rule of 15. So green coffee is fresh for about 15 months before it's roasted. It is fresh when it's roasted for about 15 days, and ground coffee only 15 minutes. So there's basically the rule of thumb is that the coffee needs to be fresh. So your coffee should be 15 days or old or less. So the reason we sell online direct to consumer is because we can guarantee that the coffee is roasted and then sent to you within 1 or 2 days. And that's the reason that we do it. But we also nitrogen flush the bags, which means there's an inert gas in the bags, which we stole from the cheap coffee industry. So we stole a lot of things from different areas of the industry, from specialty coffee, but also the very, very cheap version of coffee, because it had applied to us and freshness was super important. So we nitrogen flush the bags, and that keeps the coffee fresh. The problem with commercial coffee is it literally is, I mean, you know, it's hard to put a number on it, but most often you're looking at 4 to 6 months after roasting, maybe longer, and it depends on how they turn the coffee in the stores. You're not drinking fresh coffee, so there's a loss in antioxidants. There's also a loss in the lipids in the coffee.
So when you're drinking a cup of purity coffee, can you explain to our listeners some of the wonderful benefits that your body would receive when everything's been produced to that maximum standard?
And Amber will tell you this. It's like every night I read the testimonials that we have. I mean, it just happens to be
it's our nightly ritual.
Yeah. It's just a way of sort of keeping pulse on the company. And, you know, we've now got nearly 21,000. Yeah. It's 21,000 testimonials, but there was an unexpected consequence from this. So in other words, when I first started working, trying to find a coffee for Amber, I didn't know if it would be anything that would be noticeable. I mean, I just thought that it would be a little bit like fish oil, like you were mentioning. You know, you trust the person who makes the fish oil, but you really can't tell the difference between one fish oil and another. You just pop it as a pill and you know that you're taking, you hope, a good fish oil. But what we started seeing from our customers reporting is they were saying, you know, I don't have jitters, I don't have any nervousness. People gravitated to us who had mast cell or any sort of histamine problems, you know, liver problems. People were actually noticing a difference in how they feel. So while I wouldn't go out and say, you know, hey, it's going to cure this or that, I will say, watch how you feel. And that the very best litmus test is drink a cup of our coffee, you know, for maybe 3 days, try a coffee for 3 days, then go back to your regular coffee and notice the difference.
I want to share with you two little testimonials that we've experienced in our practice with your coffee. So one is the majority of our clientele are female, and we've been seeing a lot of women lately with very cystic breast tissue. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's response is just ditch coffee. And they're like, I'm a mom of three. I can't, that's like taking away my life source.
Yeah.
So I said, switch to purity, cystic breast tissue diminishes completely, which is phenomenal. And I will push these individuals to add to your nightly testimonial reading. And another one is whenever we have a client come in who's battling cancer, if in working with the oncologist and myself, if we feel that it would be adequate to do a coffee enema for support with the liver, I would always recommend that. And in the past, I would say, get your highest quality organic coffee. And a lot of the times they'd report back that right after the enema, they'd feel worse. And then like a day or two later, they'd start to feel better. Mm-hmm. After learning about your coffee, I basically have a no bargain. Like, you're either doing purity with the enema or you're not doing it. And they're like, really, Chris? And I said, yes, like, this is so important. We can use it as a tool to clean out the liver. And we need to make sure that we're using the best fuel, just like when you're putting fuel into your car. So they switched over to purity and they feel energized. They have an appetite again. They feel like they can focus better, and they go into treatment with their chemo or radiation with so much more energy than prior. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, no, it's very important that you're not putting mold in your body. I mean, it's just the minimum. I mean, it's
exactly. I mean,
that's actually one. It's sort of a bit of a pet. I don't say pet peeve, but it's just like, you know, that I think that if you are providing coffee that's going to be used for enema, you have a higher level of standards and responsibility because the people who are using your coffee have health conditions.
Right.
And people should be responsible and say, you know, that it needs to be tested and certified to be free of any of the sort of contaminants.
Exactly. They're already immunocompromised, and then we're shooting a dose of mold to the liver. I mean, that just is so counterintuitive and counterproductive.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So thank you. So speaking of sourcing, Amber and Andrew, one thing I don't think we've fully touched on yet is where exactly do you source your beans from? Are there a plethora of areas? Is it one region? Where does that come from?
So again, you know, for us, for making every decision based on health, it's all about the antioxidants. So we have to do something very different. So what we do is we lab test coffee from around the world and look for the ones that are highest in antioxidants in the green beans. And that becomes the farms that we start to select from. But then the farms, and the basic criteria of the farms is they all have to be organic, regeneratively farmed. And we look for certain things in the farm that indicate that the coffee is grown in its natural environment. So there's things like, if you see on our site, we're certified as sort of Smithsonian bird friendly. And so you would think, okay, that's great. We care about the environment, which we do. But the certification of Smithsonian bird friendly is just a great indicator for us that wild migratory birds land on the trees. And so it's not industrial farming. I mean, if the birds are willing to have, you know, their nest there, it's going to be a safe environment and an environment where it's grown in its natural conditions. So we're looking for coffee that's grown on a hillside, hand-picked, hand-selected. Regeneratively farmed, it needs to be high in antioxidants. And I'd say that's probably the biggest criteria, though we've actually gone one extra level now. What we used to do is we'd select coffee that was highest in antioxidants that followed this criteria. But now we've started to realize there's certain compounds in coffee and cultivars of coffee that we care about, that we can't guarantee they're produced in this way. So in December, we bought our first farm in Colombia, Purity Montebonito Farm, and that is going to be our lab farm. Basically, where what we're doing is we're growing different cultivars of coffee and different soil conditions and paying attention to how we can improve the quality of coffee at the ground level.
That's incredible. Congratulations on that.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, that is so... Yeah. So awesome. And I'm glad you spoke, you touched on the migratory birds. I think that's also, we're very disconnected as a culture here in America from our environment around us. We don't like to think that animals have a level of intelligence that they would, you know what's good and what's not. And they do. We need to be paying more attention to that. So yeah. Thank you for bringing that up because, that's really, really important. Do you feel like we covered everything in that? Can I get to the decaf and Swiss water process?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So yep. I think this is another topic where people or doctors are like, don't have coffee, but please have decaf. And Kristen and I are normally like, oh my God, like, please, the decaf is sometimes even worse than the other coffees. Like, so can we talk about that? Like, obviously, what is Swiss water process? Why is that ideal? And then what is wrong with just typical decaf coffee?
Yeah. Well, decaffeinating coffee is really, really important. I mean, we sort of think of a decaf drinker as almost like the people who care the most about quality coffee because they're not drinking the coffee for the caffeine. They're drinking the coffee because of the taste and the way that makes them feel outside of the caffeine. So the responsibility is even greater that you get the benefits without losing, you know, any of the... You get the benefits of the coffee even without the caffeine. So there's four ways of decaffeinating coffee, and so four methods. Two of them leach the antioxidants from the coffee. So, you know, the ethyl acetate, and you're talking about, you know, processes that use chemicals, they leach the antioxidants from the coffee. The only two processes that are really clean is Swiss water and a thing called critical CO2. Critical CO2 is only done in Germany. Cut a long story short, it's a equal process in terms of being healthy for you. So we work with Swiss Water, and we collaborate with them, making sure that their processes, you know, work well for us in terms of antioxidants. But the way that they decaf coffee is effectively there's a charcoal filter. So it's using warm water. It has an extraction method of taking the caffeine molecules through a charcoal filter and then reintroducing the water without the caffeine afterwards. And so you get a 99.8% caffeine-free coffee, but you lose none of the antioxidants.
I'm sure you two have found this over the course of your work, but I feel like there's almost judgment, or like people will level you up with how intense you can be in taking your coffee. So as a decaf drinker, I was poo-pooed. Yeah. Like, oh, what's even the point? Why do you do that? And like Amber, like you were saying, the ritual of it. And in my mind at the time, I thought, well, I'm still getting all these great benefits. And I drank it for those supports. And then there's like the nitro cold brew. Like I want it to taste like gasoline. Like there were these different levels. And I think if we can shift our mindset as it being a beautiful supplement to support our health, you know, what Sierra and I see clinically, Amber and Andrew, is that a lot of times people think to make the big shifts, you have to go big. And there is a degree to that, but what we've seen is the big shifts really happen when you start adjusting the small things that you mm-hmm. do every day.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that 2 tablespoons of salad dressing you're putting on your salad every night yeah. with adulterated oils that have gone rancid, that's going to affect you just as much as, believe it or not, like eating a Big Mac.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's the same mentality we have to carry over with our coffee. I don't want anyone to walk away from this episode thinking, well, I just do one cup a day. Like that is imperative because you do one cup a day for 365 days a year.
Yeah.
So I do have a quick question. When you two are out and you don't have your coffee with you, do you drink coffee? No, I love it. True diehards.
Yeah,
we've stayed. I mean, you know. Well, actually, I mean, there's a long answer to that. One of the sort of frustrations was just that I couldn't drink coffee out. I'd even say, you know, saying great hotels, you think that there'd be fantastic coffee, awful, awful coffee. And you can tell it once you've tasted the difference. You can tell the chemicals in the coffee and you can tell.
And you can feel it in your body.
And so, yeah. And so, you know, I was always a tea drinker when I was out. but one of the things that we did is we, I don't know if you had a chance to try these, but they're called Pocket Purity. It's our coffee in a tea bag.
So, oh, this is my next purchase.
And it was simply for that reason of just the fact that when we were traveling, we couldn't take a whole setup. We wanted our coffee. So Pocket Purity is our coffee in a tea bag. And again, it's a great example of where we stole from a different level of coffee industry. So for like 35 years, Maxwell House and Folgers, especially in the UK, have had coffee in the tea bag, but it was just awful, awful coffee. But we thought, well, why not put great coffee in the tea bag, nitrogen flash it, and that's how we started that. And that's actually one of our best products.
We're very proud of the Pocket Purity, because all you need is some hot water, and there's no place in the world that you can go that
can't
you
can get hot water. Yes.
Right?
Oh my gosh, I love that. 2 weeks ago, we did a house swap. My parents and brothers came up and we went back to Cape Cod, my husband and son and I. And we get back and my husband goes to fill the grinder with the coffee and he goes, "We're out of Purity." He goes, "Your brother Danny drank a whole bag of Purity while we were gone." I'm like, "I'm going to kill him." But I'm glad he got the antioxidants. I was like, it was the struggle. Yes, yes. So is there anything else? I feel like we could each have a cup of coffee and talk for another like 2 hours. But Amber and Andrew, is there anything else that you feel we haven't touched upon yet that you would love to add for our listeners?
Maybe.
There's a few things. I suppose the big sort of takeaway for me is that of all this, the work that I've done on coffee and health, the difference that makes the difference is the antioxidants in the coffee. If you need to find a company that pays attention to the antioxidants. So hopefully there's going to be more of a trend. I would say this. People talk right now about molding coffee as the biggest thing, and it is a big thing, but it also is a very low bar. Of all the things that we do, making sure that the coffee is mold-free, I mean, if you're a buyer of that coffee, you can make sure that the coffee is mold-free. It costs about $150 per container for you to do that. And then the more that you stipulate that, if you're the Folgers, Mackerel House, Starbucks, whatever it is, if you stipulate you're only buying the coffee if it's mold-free, farmers will start improving the practices so that it is mold-free. And so all of this conversation, is the mold in coffee, there isn't mold in coffee, let's just end the conversation and say, test, spend $150 and prove it. And we will shut up. If there's no mold in your coffee, we love it because we want people to be drinking more coffee because coffee is good for their health. Whatever coffee they drink, as long as it doesn't have bad stuff in it. Now, if you really want to go to the very best, then you need to focus on the antioxidants in the coffee. And I hope one day this will be like chocolate, where you'll have a number on the bar that says 80% cacao or 70% cacao, because we recognize that's something that we want in our chocolate, for example. Same thing with antioxidants and the CGA. So that's the only thing I would say is, I think the more we can elevate the conversation where we start talking about the antioxidants in coffee and less about the stuff that would be easily avoidable, I think the more we'll move to making coffee a nutraceutical.
Absolutely love that. You know, Kristen and I talk about this all the time, right? Like we have to up level. We need to be educated and empowered because then all these big companies will follow suit. We want little companies, not that you're little, but we want non-conglomerate companies to be on the market because you guys are the ones that make the big difference. But these big guys have to, you know, they're the ones that really make the difference in the grander scale. And we need to have all this information out there. It is like the biggest part of our podcast, why we got started. I'm always on my soapbox, but we needed a place to tell people, like, you need to care. These things are really, really important. Maybe you have, you know, a loved one that is struggling. This could be an episode that changes the way that they feel and live. It's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we are just so, so grateful and appreciative that you both gave us your time. Obviously, the name of the company is Purity. Would you mind telling our listeners where they could find and order your phenomenal product?
Yeah, if you go to puritycoffee.com and I've got a code for you. In fact, maybe what I can do is I'm not sure if Casey gave it to you, or we can share it after the podcast for a discount for people to try.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll put that in both the show notes. And I think it was Fiercely Holistic for 20% off. So we're so grateful for that. That's very generous of you. Thank you so much.
No problem. And you know, I would say challenge people to try the coffee, go back to their normal coffee and see how your body feels. I mean, that's the litmus test. And it doesn't have to be our coffee. Paying attention to the coffee you drink, I think, is a very important inflection point, you know, leverage point.
Absolutely.
And I just want to add something small. First of all, I won the argument. Okay, coffee. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And I just, you know, I just want to give a couple moments of gratitude. This will really embarrass Andrew Salisbury because he's British and he's also a guy. But but he really, what I love so much is that he did what he set out to do, and he found the coffee that I could drink, and he found the coffee that would allow me to do my good work in the world. And so I'm just incredibly grateful, baby. I love you so much. Doing what you're doing. And what I also love about him is he's continuing to take it to the next level. There is so much, we've just not even scratched the surface of what we're doing now. Both of us have had health challenges, like my mother had cancer, my father had Alzheimer's. So we're looking at how can we make sure that people, we think about our customers and that are having these experiences with the people that they love, and we think about it daily. And we're like, how can we make sure that people don't experience what I had to experience personally in my body, and also, you know, my mom and my dad. So I just want to thank you, Andrew Salisbury, for your contribution to the world and your gift to me, honey. And the two of you, like, the work that you're doing is incredibly beautiful and so helpful. I had so much fun just, you know, looking through the slide and examining what you're doing and what you guys are bringing to light. So I thank you for that. And the last thing I would add is when you have a good, clean cup of coffee, there's a ritual that comes with that coffee that we are also diving deeply into right now. And we'll be sharing more content on that. But there's an opportunity when you're having that coffee, especially if you're having coffee with someone you love, right? Mm-hmm. And so we encourage people just to take a moment, be conscious with that cup of coffee, you know, really involve all your senses while you're, it's very elemental, right? It's almost like alchemy when you're brewing your coffee. There's something magic that's happening. And just, we always encourage people to have a moment of consciousness. Think about the people that you love in your life, the people that are close to you, your family, your tribe, your community. Send a few blessings out, you know, mm-hmm. Have some intentionality about, okay, I'm going to drink this cup of coffee. It's going to be good for my body. It's going to be good for my soul. It's going to help me go out in the world and do my good work. And just take a moment to do that.
Mm. Oh, I love it so much.
Everything about that. Yes. Thank you so much. What a way to end the episode. And, you know, I would actually love to say, let's plan to meet in a year or two when you guys have done more and learned more. Keep us posted with your farm. We'd love to stay in contact and continue this conversation because I think it's what people need. They need yes. the education and inspiration and motivation. And again, thank you both so much for your time. It's deeply appreciated.
Oh, my pleasure. This was great. Thanks.
Yes. And this heart-centered work, I can feel it through the screen. You know, you have this passion and drive. And I think when you focus your life based off that, that's when that magic happens. And we're just beyond grateful for sharing your story. And we can't wait to get this out. And we will circle back. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you both.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Coffee.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fiercely Holistic podcast. If you loved this episode, head over to iTunes to subscribe and leave a review to help us grow. You can find Kristen at nhhnutrition.com and Ciara at auranutrition.com. If you have any thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover, please email us at fiercelyholistic@gmail.com.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. The views and opinions expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved.